إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم ومن ولا وبعد. My brothers and sisters, there are three principles of quality which ensure the success of your product or service in the market. The first one is reliability, and that is absolutely critical and important, because without reliability there is no reputation. If you do something right once, that is nice, but the next time somebody encounters you and they get a negative impression, then it invalidates that earlier impression. You go to a restaurant, once you have nice food, and you say, oh, next time you need to go to a restaurant, you say, well, let's go there because we had a nice meal. Now you go the second time and it's not as good, reputation is gone. So reliability is the first element of quality. Second element of quality is quality itself, which is what is the level of delivery of what has been what you have ordered. So if it's food, then what's the taste of the food, is it healthy, hygienic, and so on and so forth. If it is some other service, then what is the quality level of that service. And the third key element of quality is that how does this differentiate you in the market, how does it make you different from anyone else who is providing you this in the market. The reason I'm saying this is because, in the context of the Fajr reminders, is because this is what Salah teaches us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, the Salah has been prescribed on the Mu'mineen at specific times. كَانَتْ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ كِتَابًا مَقُوتًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that the Salah has been prescribed on the Mu'mineen at specific times. This five times a day of Fard Salawat, I'm not talking about the Nafil and so on and so forth, all that of course we should do, and that Alhamdulillah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us the freedom to do as much as we want, and we should do that as much as we can. I'm talking about the Fard Salawat which are prescribed for us at specific times. Now this is the essence of reliability. So for a Muslim, for example, if you say at time of Zuhr, where can I find so and so, there is only one answer, which is in the masjid, right? So if you know which masjid the person prays in normally, then you know he is going to be there. So as far as the reliability is concerned, one of the many things that Salah teaches us is to have this reliability in our lives. The same thing can and should apply to the rest of our lives. I'm not saying make your life so, some of you might think, well, you know, that means am I supposed to make my life so regimented and fixed that everything is at only a particular time. I'm not saying make it regimented and fixed. By all means, exercise your creativity and your spontaneity and whatnot. But having said that, any productivity consultant will tell you that productivity comes from structure. Productivity comes from structure. There is no way that you can be productive if you do not have a structure in your life. Many people ask me, how do you write so much and so on and so forth. Very simple thing. I get up at a specific time, I do things at a specific time, and nothing changes that. Absolutely nothing changes that. And that's why I have the time to do, alhamdulillah, much more than what otherwise I would have had. So this structure is what the Salah teaches us. Five times a day, there is no change in that. As long as we live, time for Fajr, Fajr, time for Zuhr, Zuhr, and so on and so forth. And the importance of giving priority to that. For example, the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where he said that somebody who misses Salatul Asr, and of course this applies specifically to Salatul Asr because Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi mentioned that, but by inference one could take that to apply to all the four salawat. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi said, somebody who misses Salatul Asr, does not pray it, his loss is greater than losing all his wealth and all his family. His loss is greater than losing all his wealth and all his family. Whenever I read a hadith like this, I remind myself and you, don't just read the words. Sit down, seriously think, what is the meaning of all your wealth? Try to visualize everything which you have. All the stuff which you collect, and all the money in the bank, and I don't know, all the gold bricks in your house or whatever you are keeping, all your wealth, all the properties and everything else, right? And then also visualize, bring the faces in front of your eyes of your entire family, you know, husbands and wives and children and parents and whoever is there. Bring their faces and then delete them all. All of the dead bodies lying there. And all the wealth gone completely. You are literally naked. And then remind yourself that missing one Salatul Asr is not equal to that. It is worse than that. I am not saying it. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said it. Now why is he saying that? Because, and especially if you look at it, why Salatul Asr? Because Salatul Asr is the time which for example, business people, that is usually the busiest time for you. Because it's the tail end of the day, or whatever deals you are doing and whatnot, you know, maximum pressure. And that is the time, Hayal al-Salah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, come to the Salah. Hayal al-Falah, come to success. And the marketplace says, success is here. There the Mawzin is saying, success is there in the Masjid. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, if you can't leave that, and if you don't go, if you don't answer that call, then it is as good as you have, I mean, it is worse than having lost everything. So, first, reliability, that's the first principle. Second one is the issue of qualities. We are doing something at the right time, but what is the level, what is the output, what is the quality of what you're doing? It's sure, fair enough, you're doing it at the right time. But is it some just, you know, khanapuri as you call in Urdu, you know, you tick the boxes. Is it that or are you putting your heart and soul into it and do we have any dedication towards it? And that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, the first ayat of Surah Al-Mu'minun, Allah said, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ أَلَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِيُونَ. Allah did not say the one who has done rafaidain in his salah, or the one who prayed with a topi or without a topi, or the one who, you know, moved his finger in tashahud or no, or the one who recited this surah or that surah, no. Fi salatihim khashyu. Does he have khashyat in his salah? And if he has khashyat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, he is successful. The mu'mineen have become successful. Allah did not say they will become successful. Qad aflaha al-mu'minun. They have become successful. They are successful. Who? Alladhina hum fi salatihim khashiyun. Those who have khashiyat in their salah. So, salah at the right time and salah of the right quality. And that is the reason why Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he was asked about this quality, what did he say? He said, anta abudallaha ka annaka tara. Fa illam takun tara fa innahu yarak. To worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as if you are seeing Him. Imagine the kind of example that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as if you are seeing Him. And though you cannot see Him, know that He is seeing you. Real time. He is seeing us, He is hearing us, He is listening to us, He knows what is in our hearts even before we have said it. This is the issue of the quality of that. So, at the right time, and of the right quality, right? And the third thing, as I said, is how does this differentiate you in the marketplace? Your product and service, which is reliable and which is at the right level of quality, how does it differentiate? What makes you stand out? And what makes us stand out, alhamdulillah, is the fact that this salah of this quality, this worship, is only and only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. And this is the basis on which we join together as Muslims. Yeah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Inna hadhihi ummatukum ummatan wahida wa ana rabbukum fa'budun. The basis of joining together of all Muslims across the world, across every conceivable boundary that you can imagine, whether it is racial, whether it is national, whether it is color, whether it is whatever you want. What is the basis on which we are together? When we say we are Muslims, we are brothers, on what basis? This basis. Ana rabbukum fa'budun. I am your Rabb, so worship me. Yeah? Inna hadhihi ummatukum ummatan wahida wa ana rabbukum fa'budun. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, verily this ummat of yours is one ummat, this brotherhood of yours is one brotherhood. And it's not a brotherhood of nationality, it's not a brotherhood of tribe, it's not a brotherhood of, you know, Hyderabadis or Malayalis or whoever. It's a brotherhood of faith. Ana rabbukum fa'budu. I am your Rabb, so worship me. And in another place, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said exactly the same ayah with only one word different. Inna hadhihi ummatukum ummatan wahida wa ana rabbukum fattaqun. Have my taqwa. And my understanding and interpretation of these two ayat is, fa'budun is your aqidah, fattaqun is the amal. Fa'budun is what we believe in and the ibadah. And fattaqun is how we bring this belief into the rest of our lives. I worship only Allah, and taqwa is I will please only Allah. So the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the fear of displeasing the one I love. This is my definition of taqwa. It's not fear of Allah. It's fear of the one who I love more than anything else or anybody else. And the dalil for this is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about the believers, وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ هُبَّا لِلَّهِ. The believers are those who have the greatest love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So how do you put the khashyat of Allah, the khawf of Allah and the love of Allah together? Because these are apparently two, diametrically opposite emotions, fear and love. Love draws you close to somebody. Fear sends you away from somebody. Nobody loves anything they fear. I mean, just think about in your own life. If people fear many things. You might fear a bad government, or you might fear a bad ruler, or you might fear a child might fear a teacher in school who beats them or something, or you might fear a parent, for example, and all of this. All of this creates hatred. A child who fears a teacher does not love the teacher. They may obey the teacher out of fear of, evil, this teacher, but they will never love the teacher. So fear produces hatred, and therefore it draws you away, whereas love draws you close. The one you love, you want to be with them more and more, and one day you don't speak to them, what happened today, I didn't get a call from this person, and so on and so forth, right? So how do you put these two diametrically opposite things? And we don't deny either of them. The khawf of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is definitely there. There's no question of, if somebody says, why should I fear Allah? You should fear Allah, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said this. So how do you put these two things together? And the way the two things come together is in the concept of taqwa. Taqwa is to fear, to displease the one you love the most. So the more the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increases, the more the fear of displeasure increases. The fear of displeasing him, the more that increases. And then therefore our life becomes more and more and more obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when the life becomes more and more and more obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what happens? Allah said, Inna akramakum inda Allahi atqakum. Allah says, the best of you, the highest of you in the estimation of Allah is the one who has the highest taqwa. That's not something that you and I can sit and estimate. This we will know when we meet Malakul Maut on our day, on our last day, how much taqwa we had. Because that is when the curtain will lift and we will know. In akramakum indallahi atqakum. This is what is the final standing out in this case. When I say marketplace, I don't mean the marketplace in a general sense. I mean before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is the best of you? Best of you is the one who has the greatest taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Who loves Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the most And therefore, who fears displeasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the most. Even in our own life, ta'alallahu wa amthal, Allah is beyond and above any example that is given. But even in our own lives, you will find that, you know, people that you love the most, you will do no matter what. I mean, even people who do things, wrong things, they won't do it in front of those people. They'll do it somewhere quietly. And if something happens, you know, one day I was driving in the plantations. A car came around a bend and a motorcycle came and slammed into it. So the fellow fell down. So then we got up and picked him up and all that. We found he was one of our auditors. So he was just trying out the bikes of one of my assistants. And on that hill road, he lost control and he hit the car. And nothing happened to him. Some scratches and all that. But the first thing he tells me, as soon as I pick him up, "Sir, please don't tell my mother." I said, "I don't even know who your mother is." This is some guy in Chennai. "Sir, please don't tell my mother." Now, his whole point is, you know, my mother must not know that this happened to me because she'll be worried or hurt or whatnot. He loves his mother. So, I remember that always. "Please don't tell my mother." So, the thing is that it's very important for us to keep this in mind that, alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught us this beautiful religion. And to keep these three things in mind, reliability, quality and what makes us stand out. Because alhamdulillah, bismillah ta'ala, thanks to this deen, there is no other people on the face of the earth who unite like the Muslims unite on this basis. There is nobody else. Nobody else. This is our hallmark. This is the quality, this is the differentiator between the Muslims and everybody else. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to excel on all of these qualities, and then inshallah when we meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should be pleased with us. وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ نَبِيِّ الْكَرِيمِ وَعَلَىٰ آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ أَجْمَعِينَ بِرَحْمَتِكَ يَا أَرْحَمَ الرَّاحِمِينَ